Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Flagship Podcast. I am Chip Brown of Horns247.com. Joined this week by longtime CBS sports director in Austin at KITV, the one and only Bob Ballou. Bob, how are you doing?
Chip, I'm wonderful. Is Taylor mad at me?
No, she's not mad at you. Didn't you give her an internship way back in the day?
Yeah, but she's not here. Where's Taylor?
Well, I think she's preparing for Big 12 football media days.
I love it.
And so she said, you know, I know you can handle this one, Chip. And so, and me, my friend.
Let's do this. I was thinking about this because seeing people in person is going to be really fun this week. I mean, I know we like to see some of the Oklahoma media and Kansas media and other parts of Texas media and that kind of stuff. But like, you know, even getting to see the Texas media is going to be a pretty big deal because the only chance we've had to see each other was at the spring game and everybody was kind of working away and not really had a chance, good chance to catch up. So I'm just thrilled to be heading to Arlington on Wednesday and have a chance to certainly to talk a little football and hear from some of these guys, but really just to catch up with everybody and see how everybody's doing. Cause it's been way too long in person.
Yeah. So for those who are listening, who will pull back the curtain a little bit, Big 12 football media days is kind of like a convention for media members. I mean, in addition to all the interviews that we'll do with the coaches and the players, it's a bit of a convention for media members to get together at least once a year and kind of see how they're doing and compare notes and what's this coach like and what's that athletic director really like. And it's a good time. It's fun. It's a chance to catch up and in our industry, in addition to, you know, gathering information for the football season. Is that fair?
Absolutely. We will learn very little, which is the best part of it. I think that's the always the fun of this. It's so many cliches and we feel confident. You know, Kansas is confident about this year, Chip. They're confident. They feel like this is the next step and they're ready to move forward as a program. And we're going to hear that from a lot of people. So,
and Oklahoma's not even bringing their Heisman candidate quarterback.
It's so funny because I look at, you know, in my mind, I'm trying to, when they announced that Jeremiah Hall is coming and not Spencer Rattler, I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, okay, you know, Spencer Sanders is coming. Letty Brown's coming from West Virginia. Max Duggan will be there from TCU. Breece Hall will be there from Iowa State. It's all the best offensive players for each team. Sark's bringing Bijan Robinson, who is a sophomore. And that's, you remember back in the Mac days, that was unheard of. I was just kind of going through the depth chart at Texas to think if in just this situation, if Mac was still a coach here, he got to bring one offensive player, what senior would he bring? And it's tough. I mean, is it Kerstetter? Probably because his story is going to be pretty good. Is it Cade Brewer? Is it like your options are very limited on offense to bring a senior. And so obviously Sark wasn't going to bring a quarterback, because that competition, as you know, Chip, that competition is ongoing. But he had to bring somebody, and I would guess it came down to probably like Jordan Whittington, Joshua Moore, maybe, and Bijan. And I think he just knows Bijan's going to take on a lot of this media hype throughout the year. There's so much around him already. I mean, why not bring him? I don't think it's something Mac Brown would have done because Mac was always trying to get the senior there. So when I was thinking to myself, okay, so maybe that's why Lincoln did it. Lincoln wanted to bring the senior that deserved the spotlight or whatever. Spencer's going to get the spotlight all throughout, whatever. then on defense, he brings a junior. So that can't be it. So I don't know. I thought it was a very, it's a very interesting decision by Lincoln Riley. It's not like it's that big a deal, but we need to find a storyline going into it. I guess that's one of them. For day one is, you know, first question out of the gate's got to be Lincoln. Why didn't you bring Spencer?
Right.
And maybe he'll say it's because there's an ongoing quarterback competition. I mean, that's what he said. Isn't that what he said last year? Was it last year or 2 years ago? It was Jalen Hurts or Kyler Murray. It was one of those guys. And he was like, yeah, they're, you know, that competition's ongoing. It's like, oh, so he's not going to start really.
Yeah. It was between Kyler Murray and Austin Kendall.
That's right. It was. That's right.
Transferring to West Virginia. But and everyone was like, oh, okay.
Sure. Great. Okay, Lincoln. We believe you.
Kyler Murray won Heisman and went number one.
Yeah. But he almost got beat out by Austin Kendall.
That's right.
So
almost.
So, yeah, I mean, but that's the fun part of this is just, you know, we always have a good time. You know, when you get the one-on-one situation with a guy or in a little bit of a smaller group, you can ask him a little bit more, you know, pressing questions or even fun questions to give them, you know, a little time to have some fun while they're there. And, you know, Anthony Peronimo forever was the king of that. And we're going to miss him being there this year, he would always put together what he called the woolly bully. And while we were working on some of our stories, he would run around, you know, the last minutes to those guys and ask them questions about, you know, random, like what restaurant is your favorite restaurant in Ames, or, you know, what movie as a kid would you want to watch again? Or what, I mean, he had them all up his sleeve. So, and he would have had a blast with it this year because of the name, image, and likeness. He would have gone crazy with what sponsors do you want? But yeah, it's a, you know, it's the whole thing in general is just it's a fun couple days to get yourself kind of excited about the year. We're still a month and a half out. But it does give you a chance if you do have some questions for some of these guys that you do want to know a little bit more about, or, you know, the head coaches don't give a lot away, but some of the guys will. And, you know, it's not like we'll get to talk to Breece Hall one-on-one, throughout the season. So it's a good opportunity to find out what, you know, Big 12's best running back, kind of brings to the table.
Yeah. I always find at Big 12 media days, you can, if you kind of pick through the opening comments and get into some of the questions, you can tell which coaches really like their team. Like, I remember when Matt Rhule said, we expect to be contending for the Big 12 title in November. And they did. They went 11-1 in the regular season. And you know, you can pick up on some of this stuff. You can pick up on when a coach feels really good about his team. I think Gary Patterson feels good about his team this year.
And coaches say that, right? I mean, you're going to hear stuff like that from coaches, but if you listen to what's going on around it, it really does give you a better sense of why. Like, you know, we have a really experienced offensive line that's played well, and we had a, you know, 1,000-yard rusher last year, and we feel like we can really dominate the line of scrimmage. Stuff like that, as opposed to just, yeah, we're really getting our footing.
Right.
You know, or we have an opportunity to be better. Like, you can really tell. I don't think Matt Wells may say they want to compete. I don't know that they're going to compete for the Big 12 title this year.
Right.
So I like that. I like the way you put that, because if you really do a deeper dive, you can hear which ones of these coaches really like their team.
Yeah. And we'll be listening to, you know, Sark and see if we can pick up on little clues about what he feels good about. If you're talking to Bob Ballew, obviously, a longtime sports director at the CBS, Austin affiliate, KITV. And Bob, if you're Steve Sarkisian, what do you feel good about? What do you feel good about with regard to this Texas Longhorn football team?
I feel really good about Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
How'd I do?
Yeah.
Did I do well?
8.3 yards a carry. I like that.
I do. I feel good about Bijan. I feel good about Jordan Whittington as a possible, I don't know. I just don't know how to put it with him, because he hasn't been there consistently. Right. I mean, we've seen it. I mean, OU last year, he has 10 catches, and we see the potential for him to do big things. He has to stay healthy. And so does Bijan. I Bijan's health to me is where I think the offense kind of hinges on that. And that's not a knock on Roschon Johnson. That's a That's how good Bijan Robinson is. And I think people get that. You look at Hudson and Casey and what that battle is going to be. And again, we've probably, you've probably talked this into the ground over and over again, but if Casey Thompson starts against Louisiana, that doesn't mean Casey Thompson is going to start against Arkansas or OU or Kansas State or anybody else the rest of the year. I think that battle, and maybe Sark's a guy that wants to pick a guy and go with him until he can't go with him anymore, which is fine. But I just don't, think that's going to be the defining moment. Is Casey Thompson won the battle in the fall. Casey Thompson's the guy for 14 games. I think that battle will continue to go just because of how good that competition really probably is. Yeah. I think my thing, you asked what I like. I mean, that's probably what I like most is Bijan, Jordan Whittington. Joshua Moore showed signs offensively. Defensively, I don't know. I mean, I like what they have up front. I love, Keandre Coburn, I think is, they've got enough guys they can rotate in there to really make an impact, not just to be kind of hold the fort down up front. But I mean, they've got guys that can make a real impact with Morrow and Alfred Collins and Tavondre and Jacoby and Keandre. I mean, everybody up front's going to get an opportunity to really make an impact this year. And I think they can do that. I think you look behind them and certainly the secondary has experience, but is it good experience? Are those guys going to really take that step forward that they need to? And then what is going to happen at linebacker? I mean, I think that's, everybody kind of looks at that position and goes, is it going to be good? Is it going to be stable? Is it going to be a position of weakness on defense? I don't think anybody knows right now. It's kind of the same with the offensive line. Like, you just don't know. You don't know how Sark is going to attack this across the board. And so until we see that, we just don't know. Yeah. And that's, to me, that's the fun part of going into this year. We don't know. We don't know what Sark's going to look like as a head coach at Texas. We don't know what the offense is going to look like. And we won't know until Louisiana, really. And then beyond that, just the way it evolves. And I think everybody wants the 10 win season and they want it to be great. But I just feel like patience in year one is critical. Now, if you want to get upset a little more in year two, okay, I get it. But I just think in year one with any coach, you can't just assume things are going to be one thing or another. He's going to be terrible. He's going to be average. He's going to be great. I just think he has to you have to give him a chance to evolve. And it was the same with Tom Herman. I felt the same way with Tom Herman. They lost to Maryland and I think everybody was kind of stunned, but you never really, I think we saw by the end of year two, by the end of year three, where this was going. Whereas I just don't, in year one, you just don't know. And I think you've got to give him that opportunity to lay out his foundation of his program. Now he needs to make an impact. I'm not saying he doesn't. They can't go 4-8, but like, you just need to give him a little time to get things in order the way he wants it.
We'll take a quick break here with Bob Ballou, longtime sports director in Austin for the CBS affiliate KI. When we come back, I'll ask Bob where did Texas go wrong here in football in the last 10 years since Mack Brown left in 2013, even a little bit before that. But stay with us. We'll be right back here on the flagship podcast with Bob Ballou.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents.
Hands where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back. About to set it all on fire. New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Back now with Bob Ballou here on the flagship podcast. And where's Texas been? What's been the problem? Why has Texas been through four different football coaches in the last 7 years? And what's going on here?
Well, that's a good question, especially in the sense that even Sam Ehlinger, when he was asked that question, said, that's the million-dollar question and we're trying to figure it out. And they haven't figured it out. I mean, obviously, you could start back in at the end of the 2009 season when Colt got hurt and Matt got stubborn with the offense, and things just dramatically changed in 2010, and they went 5-7. And look, I don't know that Garrett Gilbert would have ever been the quarterback they thought he would be had Mac not wanted to run the ball so badly going into 2010 and just kind of tried to shove that down people's throat. And I, you know, if David Ash stays healthy, maybe things are a little different. I don't know that we'll ever know that. I think that was the quarterback revolving door at quarterback was a huge issue. Maybe David Ash was the guy that picked it up after Garrett Gilbert left, but he couldn't stay healthy. And then when Charlie got here, it just never went well. From day one, things were never in his favor. Steve Patterson was not the guy to lead this athletic department. Charlie was not the guy to lead the football program. I still go back to, not that it would have ever worked with Charlie, but he was not given the advantages that Tom Herman and Steve Sarkisian were given. Yeah. That's not to say it would have worked or it wouldn't have worked, but that was always an issue that I had on that front. And then, you know, they tried to stabilize things. And when the Tom Herman thing happened, I don't know that there were a ton of people. Now, there are probably people who will go back and say, I was totally against this hire. But Tom Herman had really made an impression. He was 22-4. It wasn't just 22-4 in the AAC. It was 22-4, and they were beating Oklahoma, and they were beating Florida State, and they were showing signs that was stuff that could happen. It didn't materialize here. There are a lot of reasons for that. I think one thing that always hangs over this program is the arrogance, taking things for granted with players that get into the program and just feel like I'm at Texas. And sometimes you lose that kind of blue collar hard work mentality. It's not to say guys don't work hard and they don't, you know, I mean, with everything they go through to go to class and do everything that they do to be college athletes, I'm never trying to diminish what a college athlete does, but because they all work very, very hard it's a very difficult position that a lot of them are in to work from. It's a job. I mean, they work from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. pretty much year round trying to make, you know, things great. And they never did. And that goes to coaching. It goes to players. It goes to recruits. It goes to everything. But it's just been a struggle. Now, you can look to just about every program in America and look through their history and see that they've had down times. They've gone through 10, 15 years of without success. Obviously, right now, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma all have it pretty well figured out. Beyond that, it's not really consistent with any other program across the country. So that's what they're trying to find, is the consistency. And there have been a lot of issues from the top down, from the athletic department down, for the last 10 years. And I think having a stable athletic director that is really pushing the right things and pressing the right buttons like they do in Chris Del Conte. And then again, I go back to this. I can't emphasize this enough, Chip, and I could ramble on about this forever, but we don't know with Steve Sarkisian, as happy as everyone is with him right now. We don't know. There's not the hype that there normally is with a program when a coach comes in. There's not the hype there was with Charlie. There's not the hype there was with Tom Herman. There's just not, because I think Texas fans are finally being like, we just haven't done this in such a long time. Like, let's just take a beat and let it kind of grow. But what, you know, this is the one thing I go back to, and this is not like it's not going to work here or it's not going to whatever. Steve Sarkisian's best season as a head coach was 9-4 at USC. He won 8 games at Washington once. He won 7 3 times, and he won 5 once. So there's no automatic, just because he went to Alabama, just because he's done all these things, there's no automatic. And that's why I keep saying, number one, you've got to let Sark grow back into the head coaching role. You've got to give him that time to feel that again. And I don't mean 4 years, but you have to give him a little time to grow back into a role as a head coach and then prove that he can do it, because he really hasn't proven that he can be an elite head coach in college football. And what he's gone through to get back to where he is, I think, makes him appreciate it a lot more. But now he has to go prove it. And that's something that I think a lot of people don't maybe understand, is that it hasn't happened before with him. So now he has to go prove that it can happen.
Yeah. I like his staff, but you're right. Yeah. You know, you've got to show that you can do it year in, year out and contend. And, you know, I think Texas should be in the Big 12 title race every year.
Correct.
I'm not saying they should win it every year, but they should be in it every year in November.
Oklahoma's in it every year.
Right. Right. And that's where Texas needs to start residing. And Steve Sarkisian's one of the best offensive play callers. It's going to be fun to see him go against Lincoln Riley, who's maybe the best in college football right now. Now, granted, Sarkisian is coming off an unbelievable year where he had three Heisman finalists.
Right. And can we talk about the talent he had too? I mean,
oh yeah,
he's got to get there. The talent isn't in Texas right now that it's in Alabama. You got to get there too.
Right. And that people have to adjust their mindset on that because he doesn't have, you know, he doesn't have Devontae Smith, Najee Harris, and Mac Jones. Maybe he does in either Casey Thompson or Hudson Card, but it's going to take a minute for those guys to get really comfortable in the offense. All right. Let me ask you this, talking to Bob Ballew. You know, we kind of previewed Big 12 football media days, but you know, unbelievable year for Texas in athletics. They win the Director's Cup and win three national championships, 13 top 10 finishes. And men's basketball makes a coaching change, and Chris Beard has now brought in some of the top transfers available this offseason. Trey Mitchell, Dylan Dazoo, Christian Bishop from Creighton, Timmy Allen from Utah, who I love. And, you know, you've got, you know, some returning talent, especially at the guard position. Chris Beard's going to open the season, Bob, as possibly a preseason top five team, maybe even top three.
It's crazy.
And you're, you know, you went to Missouri, a basketball school, although football's, you know, picked up. But what do you think about what's going on with Chris Beard, the Pied Piper of the portal?
Yeah. And college basketball is very different than college football.
Yeah.
I think in a lot of ways. Now it's certainly changing. It's certainly changing with the transfer portal, obviously. But you can do that in a year. You can get a guy that's a one and done and change your program, you know, that quickly. I love the start. I think the thing I love more than anything is the work that he's doing to be everywhere, to get the team to buy into what he's trying to do by buying into Texas athletics. He was at the Texas baseball when they left to go to Omaha. He and his coaching staff were there. They were at the like celebration. There were like 100 people there. And he was there. Ogden was there. His guys were there. And that's what he's trying to do, is this whole Unite Texas basketball. They're having the Abe Lemons Classic. I don't know that you could go about this in a better way. I mean, I really don't. Whether this works or not, the best thing you can do is engulf yourself in the history of Texas basketball, engulf yourself in the campus, show everybody you're around and you're here and you're the ones that's going to change this thing around. I think the biggest thing that I will say about Chris Beard, just again, we're going off, you know, this goes back to like the one word. Let me ask you this. I'm going to ask you this question and see if it's the same word. Is there one word that everybody's used to you about Steve Sarkisian?
One word?
If you had to say one word that the majority of the people have said to you, is there a word? Because I've got one that literally everyone says to me.
About Sark?
Yeah.
Relentless?
He's genuine.
Genuine. I would say
genuine
on Beard.
I love relentless. But everybody says that about Sark. Now, how much of that is that Tom Herman wasn't genuine and everybody's just excited to have someone who's actually like a normal, will talk to you and have a normal conversation and you're not, you don't feel like, you know, he's trying to make you dumber than him or he's, and I'm not trying to get into Herman. I'm just saying like, everybody says Sark is a very genuine person.
Yeah.
When it comes to Chris Beard, I love relentless for him. The one thing that I had a former player of his tell me this. He told me what the one thing he'll do that a lot of coaches can't do is he will get every player on that team to play as hard as they can possibly play all the time. And so much, I mean, that's so much of what this sport is, right? I mean, it's you got to give everything you have. It's the Brock Cunningham thought or mentality or whatever you want to call it. That's why he loved Brock Cunningham so much when he was at Texas Tech. And even said in a press conference, if Brock has a twin, have him call 806, you know, 9445, whatever. I mean, he loved him, but that's why, because he gets the most out of his players. Now, what that translates to, we'll see, but what this former player told me basically was that it's a lot of work to be a college athlete. We were talking earlier. It's a lot of work. So 6 a.m. to whatever time at night, like it's a lot of basketball. He makes you love it. Because a lot of times it becomes a job or it becomes like, man, I got to go to practice. I still got to do X, Y, and Z in my life and whatever. Chris finds a way to make you love it. And I think those two hires fall in line with what Chris Del Conte is trying to produce at Texas, which is one of the first things that he brought about when he was hired as athletic director. And when we talked to him the first few times, he wanted everyone to understand he wanted real people to do the job. And I think that's what, as much as Sark and Beard are good hires in terms of what you think they're going to be, so much of that is how genuine they are as people. And I think when you get genuine people, you can start to produce genuine college athletes who care about their game, who want to perfect their craft and want to be really good at what they do. So I think those are the biggest positives, because again, you can't talk about what is going to happen because no one knows. But what we can see is the product that they're building and how they're going about building it. And that's the biggest thing to me with Sark and Beard.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And Bob, will you know, a little bit about you for the folks who've, you know, been watching you on television for how many years now have you been in the Austin market?
About to start my 15th year.
15th year.
I arrived in 2007, right before that 2007 season that culminated my first year covering Texas football, culminated with the Chris Jesse moment. So that's that's kind of how I started my career here in Austin. I started right before the years that I got here in August. So
tell the people whose posters were up in your room as a boy, and you grew up in the Dallas area.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if you grew up in a city that's like that, I mean, all four of those teams were my favorite teams growing up. So, you know, Aikman and Emmitt and Michael Irvin, were, you know, obviously I grew up a huge Cowboys fan, Nolan, you can't beat Nolan Ryan. Although we could go through all the 80s Rangers rosters and have a really funny time with that. But, you know, I mean, you were in Dallas, you knew you were at the Dallas Morning News. You know how that city is when it comes to their teams. And I love the Mavericks growing up. You know, obviously Dirk became everything that if you're a Mavericks fan, he became everything. But I was growing up in the era of Mark Aguirre and Rolando Blackman and Sam Perkins and Brad Davis and Derek Harper. So, I mean, that was what I grew up with and became a Stars fan once they got the team, obviously, and really engulfed myself in that. So those were my teams. And I grew up bleeding burnt orange. My parents went to Texas. I went to every Texas OU game from 1984 on. But when it came down to where to go to college, I wanted to do broadcast journalism. And I had a bunch of people tell me, if you want to do broadcast journalism, go to Missouri. And I, you know, I would have never in my life thought I'd go to Missouri, but ended up there. Even when I came down to Texas, I toured the school at Texas, and whoever was there that day said, if you want to do broadcast journalism, go to Missouri. I'm like, what? No, I want to go to Texas. So anyway, I went to Mizzou and loved it, and spent another 4 years there, and then went to San Antonio for three and did weekends in San Antonio and covered two Spurs titles while I was there in 05 and 07, and then made my way to Austin. So I mean, obviously we've grown to love the Austin market. I'm married with two beautiful daughters who are 3 and a half and almost 11 months. So we're in the grind, to say the least. But it's a good grind. It's the, you know, it doesn't get better than seeing your kids smile. And, you know, when you come home, they come running to you or crawling to you, in the case of my 11-month-old. And, it's just a blast. So there's me in a nutshell, Chip.
Well, that's me in a nutshell. I will tell you the same thing that Rick Barnes told me, which is enjoy every minute with your kids because they don't call you daddy for very long. So savor it, love it. Yeah. Every little moment, it's fantastic. I've got an 18-year-old now heading off to college this fall.
Unbelievable.
And it,
well, that's, I mean, Chip, that's the perfect, like when I got here in 07 and then, you know, we started hanging out a little bit, you know, a couple of years after that. I mean, Tiger was
a peanut.
Five. He was six. I mean, I'm right. What do you mean he's going to college? I've done that with a lot of my friends.
I know.
It's crazy how fast that happens.
It really is. So enjoy.
Pretty awesome.
Friend. Well, with that, I will let you get back to your day job, but thanks for, you know, shooting the stuff, talking horns, talking Big 12 football media days, and talking maybe a little patience for Texas fans in terms of letting Sark grow into this, because it is a tough job. Texas football is a tough job. It is part governor, part football, part CEO. It's a lot.
It is a lot. And I will say this too, Chip. I was when Texas beat in 2018, when they beat TCU, USC and TCU in Oklahoma, and everybody started talking about, are they back? Are they whatever? I really thought that was the moment. That was kind of a defining moment in the Tom Herman era. Like, this is where it changes. Year one, it wasn't great. It was okay at times. It was terrible at times. But that was really kind of the moment to me. And when it didn't progress after that Oklahoma game, I think it probably took me a little too long to realize it wasn't progressing the way it was supposed to. But those are the signs I think you look for. In year one, you're going to look for signs from Sark as to whether or not he's making this happen. And it's going to be fun. I think that's why I love like this week of Big 12 Media Days, because you know it's here and we get a chance to like kind of start to get into some of that stuff and have these conversations of how good can they be this year? What's the ceiling? And we have no idea because it's year one with a totally new regime.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's fun. And it's going to be a fun week. And thanks for helping us preview it, Bob Ballou. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely, Chip. And let's do it again soon.
All right. For Bob Ballou, I am Chip Brown of Horns 24/7. Thanks, everybody, for listening in to the flagship podcast interview. Until next time, stay safe and keep the faith.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.